Good evening. So if my battery doesn't go dead, I got something written down. So the topic that was assigned was perseverance and encouragement. So I tried to get cute with that and say something like, should we persevere in our encouragement, or should we encourage one another in their perseverance? But the nouns and the verbs didn't work out, so I'm not going to go that way. So this morning, Adam spoke about the passage in Luke chapter 10, verse 30, the parable of the Good Samaritan. And so we're familiar with that, and he covered the basics of it this morning. But there's another one that I want to read. Just in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20, it's a short line that says, "It's better to go to a house of mourning than go to a house of feasting, because that is the end of every man, and the living takes it to heart." So as we get started, I'd like to ask you a question. What does the house of mourning in Ecclesiastes 7:20 have to do with the Good Samaritan parable? So if you can get that, then you will have understood the way my mind works. So time's up. So as we go through, we're going to take a look at perseverance and encouragement tonight. And ask a couple questions as we get started. Do we experience these in equal measures? Do we, when we think about it, do we persevere as little as possible? Do we, when we encourage, do we encourage the godly way? Do we encourage more than we persevere? As we take a look at these, you know, you kind of just do it, right? You encourage people, and sometimes you persevere, and you're not quite even sure that you're going through it until you're going through it, right? So what value do these have in our lives? Because they're important features and attributes of our life, but how important are they? And, you know, when you take a look at it, you think, okay, perseverance, that clearly is not something that is done real quick. So it kind of sounds like it might take a little bit of work. And encouragement means that I actually have to involve myself with something. You know, perhaps maybe we just should push both of these off to the side, right? Perhaps not. Let's spend a few minutes looking at this from God's perspective. So as we're going through this, I'd like to ask each one of us, you know, as we're talking about them, have you grown in these areas? And ask myself, have I grown in these areas? So let's just go back and answer the question, what do they have in common, this house of mourning in the parable of the Good Samaritan? So we know in the house of mourning that it's about death. And then it causes it, as the scripture says, to contemplate our life and the need for improvement. It causes us to look inward. And then we're taking a look at the Good Samaritan who were to see a person injured, and even today, you know, that happens. We see people where terrible things have happened, and especially if we're close to them, it draws our compassion. It calls us to look outward. Both of these help us focus on our place with God and His creation. And even sometimes, especially when these activities beckon us to get involved, maybe we actually feel a little uncomfortable because we let the moment pass. James chapter 1:24 has something to say about that. James said, "You see yourself, you walk away, and you forget what you look like." That's from the New Living Translation. So as we're going through and taking a look, I want this study to be one where we take a look at ourselves inside. We take a look at how we persevere. Why is it important to us? How should we look at it? And take a look at encouragement, that is decidedly something that we do to others. But both of these are team sports. And as we'll see from going through this, that this is not just something that we should put off, engage only when absolutely needed, but rather this is something that is really important and necessary for our spiritual growth. So I'll jump into perseverance and then encouragement and then a conclusion. So perseverance is defined as, and I have underlined, continued effort to do or to achieve something despite difficulties, failures, oppression, opposition, the action or condition or instance of persevering. Another word might be steadfastness. But it makes sense that this would be something that we ought to know a little bit of something about. So some famous Bible examples. We certainly know the perseverance of Job. In the first chapter of Job, just a couple verses. Passage there says, Job rose early in his morning after all of his calamities had come, tore his robe, shaved his head, fell on the ground and worshipped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked I shall return. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all of this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. So here you see a guy just in the beginning of his perseverance, but he had a long way to go. So certainly very famous examples. The parable of the imploring widow and the unrighteous judge, totally different perspective, Luke chapter 18. You see somebody that didn't care about anything, didn't care about God, didn't care about man, and a widow who had absolutely nobody to care for her. Boy, they were opposite ends of the spectrum, weren't they? But what did she do? She would not be denied. She persevered. And just by the simple fact that she wouldn't let up, the judge gave her what she wanted. Boy, it's almost hard to think that both of those two scriptures would actually talk about the same thing, wouldn't they? But they do. So we can see that persevering covers a lot of different ground. In Romans chapter 8, verse 17, Paul there says, we're heirs with Christ, provided we share in the sufferings of Christ. So as we begin to learn a little bit more about this persevering, God has given it to us. We can see it from a worldly perspective in case of the widow and the judge. And we can recognize it in other people's lives when they're going through it. But now we begin to see, is this really something that we're going to have to go through? And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8, the phrase is given, jars of clay. We are treasures in jars of clay. And just one snippet out of that we are hard-pressed but not crushed. There's many other similar examples of that in those few verses there. But it talks about a process that you and I must go through. It talks about the way in which our lives will be used and perhaps even pressed and perhaps even significantly changed. Does anybody here wish for that to happen? No. But if it did, what would our attitude be? Would we cast a disparaging eye upward? Would we say, if I hadn't have taken this tack in my relationship with God, I wouldn't have lost my job? And my family, who was always there, they're no longer with me anymore. Or would the perseverance instead allow us to see that God is more useful to us than us to him? Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. Paul there says, therefore, behold, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have obtained our introduction by faith into his grace in which we stand. And we celebrate in the hope of the glory of God, not only by this, but we also celebrate in our tribulations, knowing that our tribulations bring about perseverance, and perseverance, character, And character, hope. And hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit that was given to us. So now we start to see the pieces come together. So if we're ever in a situation, or when we are in the situation, where we really do need to persevere, or we're with somebody who is definitely going through it, let's take a look at what does this do for us? Why should we value this? It says perseverance produces character. Here's a few other words for Christian character. Attentive to Christ's voice, blameless and harmless, bold, contrite, fearing God, following Christ, guileless, holy, humble, hungering for righteousness, just, led by the Spirit, loving, lowly, meek, merciful, new creatures, obedient, poor in spirit, prudent, sincere, steadfast, taught by God, undefiled, upright, watchful, zealous for good works. I'm sure there are many others. But when we ask ourselves the question, should we value this perseverance? When it comes upon us, how should we view it? Is it something that we should push away? Is it something that we should do anything other than to go through? Well, if perseverance produces character, and character was some of the lists that I just read through, don't you almost want to say, I could use a little bit more? Mm-hmm. You know, we most frequently look at perseverance and think of it as it's a temporary thing. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of like I've got a little bit of a cold that's going to go away. It's kind of like I strained my back. It's going to get better in a few days. It's kind of like I can't wait till this current boss isn't here anymore and I get another one. But what if we would see it as something that is lifelong? Would you be able to take it? Would you be able to set your spiritual relationship with God in such a fashion that you would still be fruitful, that you would still have confidence, that you would still be just? God uses the events of our life. He uses them for his glory, for our learning, to use us in other people's lives. God desires that we are here, not for ourselves, but for him. And I think that's one of the necessary parts of understanding perseverance. And also one of the necessary parts that if we don't get it, our lives are certainly going to be a whole lot more miserable. If we choose to not accept when those things are come upon us, will we have hearts that are turned towards God, or will we have hearts that are turned towards ourselves and become bitter? I think we know the answer to that question. The last part that I want to say about perseverance is we can't persevere for God without knowing God. Because if we're going to try to do it that way, you're going to be grasping for answers that aren't there without anyone to help the pieces fit together. So let's take a look at encouraging. Forms of encouragement. Kind words, that's easy. We all know that. Also harsh words. I was talking to Ryan and he said, well, sometimes, you know, pussyfooting around the issue won't always get it done. Sometimes you got it, right? Come with the harsh words. But not always. And seeing the examples in others. All the forms of encouragement. Definition would be, it's a noun that serves to incite, support, promote, advance, as favor, continuance, reward, incentive, increase of confidence, the fine art of little encouraging words, to refresh, to grow. So many examples of encouragement. Who was called the son of encouragement?
Barnabas.
By the apostles, no less. Wow, can you imagine giving that nickname? I sure hope each of us would like to get that. But I doubt that what he did to earn it would have been something that was easy, was it? And it wasn't a five-minute thing, come and cut my grass and I'll call you the son of encouragement. So Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 11, Paul there says, "And we desire that each of you demonstrate with the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end." So he's talking about this encouraging, this diligence, for the purpose that they would keep their full assurance until the end. In the same chapter, verse 18, the Hebrew writer says, "So that by two unchangeable things it is impossible for God to lie, whom we have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to hold firmly to the hope set before us." So we're taking a look at this encouragement. We're taking a look at what value does it have in our lives to see how that we receive the encouragement and that it helps us. That we are encouraged by the full assurance to the end of our time. Philippians chapter 2, first two verses. Paul there said, "Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation and love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete, be of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, in one purpose." So when we take a look at the power that comes from our love, our fellowship, our affection, our compassion, this encouragement comes from Christ. So we think, well, what would it be like if we didn't encourage one another with those things? Well, obviously, it would be pretty empty. And he goes on to say that there is a purpose for having all these things put together. The purpose is that we will be of the same mind. If we're reaching out and we're caring with one another, we're encouraging one another, we're obviously saying, let's do this together. Let's share in this. Let's work together because we are here for one purpose. Encouragement also comes from other folks around us. In Acts chapter 16, it said that the apostles there left prison, went to Lydia's house, were encouraged, and departed. So do you think maybe they just said, "Here's a glass of cold water and let me clean your sandals and you're on your way"? They came from prison. So you bet that they were doing some pretty thoughtful encouraging. Some taking care of their needs. Some praying for them spiritually. Some holding their hands. Feeding them. Wishing them on their way. But it was very important. And she was the one that begged them to come. So when we take a look at how effective can it be? When you see somebody that needs uplifting, do you believe that you can make a difference? The Word of God says that we can and we must. If you don't feel you can, then I would challenge to say, I need to take another look at this. Because you know what? Wait a minute. That's my closing. I'm not going to get there yet. So Acts chapter 18 verse 27, the phrase is used, or the meaning behind the word encouraging there is to urge forward and persuade. There it says that, "And when he wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome them. And they greatly helped those who had believed through grace." So here's an apostle, and they're encouraging, they're persuading. Would you wish to change the direction of somebody or to hasten them on their way by the encouraging that you're doing. Every one of us here has all sorts of activities that we're going to do this week in the coming weeks. So some of them are going to be easier and some of them are going to be harder. Do you know that your specific help and involvement in that situation can make a difference? Do you know that when you reach out to your brother and sister and you give them a hug and you say, what can I do to help? And how can I, you know, best help you in what you're doing? And equally to say, I will be praying for you. Do you believe that this is of value? The Word of God says that it is. Do we encourage the way that we want or the way that the individual or the situation needs? When you say, how are you doing, brother or sister? And they're kind of downcast and they say, well, I'll get by. What do you say? That's great. I'm going out to get lunch. Or do you say, that's not the kind of encouragement that this sister needs? I'm going to stop. I'm going to see what's going on. The difference is, one is the way that God would want us to encourage, and one is the way that perhaps at times each of us sees the way that we should encourage. So in closing, what do you want more of? Do you want to give and receive encouragement? Or do you want to experience the need for perseverance? Don't all raise your hands. This is a glimpse into our need to show love and receive love. I would like us to consider, it's not hard to say, who likes to encourage? Because we're a friendly group. You know, we've helped each other. We will continue to help each other. But what about persevering? What about how you approach persevering? Am I looking for an opportunity so that I can struggle? Am I looking for a case where it's going to be difficult for me to live a spiritual life? I mean, I guess who would say yes? But how could you ever say no? If we see what perseverance does, how important that it is to our walk with the Lord, perhaps we should change how we see it. Perhaps we should realize that if we're literally living our lives as Christians and we really experience nothing, how can that be? You know, I mean, the one who owns this world and everything around us, the Prince of Evil, Satan, he wants nothing more than for us to be as comfortable as all get out. So I guess as we're thinking through that, apply that. If there's nothing that's driving you to persevere, perhaps we're driving on the wrong road. Is it possible that we could be too aloof to encourage? That it's just nothing that we want to get involved in? Do we really hope that we never really use our faith in a fashion that would draw us to a point to where we need to persevere? Would you sell something really, really important for you to feed a family for a long period of time? You know, something that to recognize at the beginning that this course of action that we're taking would be a significant departure for us and that it is a significant need for growth, one that is needed for us. when you see people and you look at them and to see that they're loving, they're pure in heart, they're sincere, they're steadfast, we admire them for being taught by God. They're devout, they're faithful. They didn't get that without perseverance. They didn't get that without being encouraged. So, to answer the question, it isn't about us. I will read Romans chapter 15, verses 4 through 6, and I've touched on it a couple times in my talk, and then I'll be done. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of scriptures, we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one purpose and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. Amen.